When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, Boomer and Geo coming to you live for the Bill Ford Tough Studio on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Willie Colon in for Boomer this morning. If you want to join the show, 888-808-1019. You know, we've talked about a lot of these issues with the New York football teams, but I haven't heard all of your perspectives on it, so we will get your thought on the Giants. But I wanted to bring up something from the post-game show on SNY when I was watching you guys. No, it was hilarious. Okay. I was just laughing my ass off. So you got Steve Gelbs on the end, right? And then you got Bart and you in the middle.
Yep.
And then you had Connor Rogers.
Right. Shout out Connor.
Right. So you guys are talking about Breece Hall saying that this was the most trying year of his life. So then Bart Scott goes, and he went to Iowa State.
Yes.
And he goes, there's no black people in Iowa, right? So then you're like, yeah, I mean, you like agree with him. And those two guys got so nervous. And I'm laughing my ass off. And then Connor Rogers didn't get it. He was like, Iowa State, they played well. Brock Purdy was there. Right. And you like turned to him and was like, no, I'm talking about how there's no black people in Iowa. And he was like, anyway, right. So Garrett Wilson.
They were a little outside the real house for that. So they weren't prepared for that. But it's true. I mean, trying times, being a black running back at Iowa State. You don't think that's trying? No black folks out there. Now, Iowa City, shout out. There are a lot of black folks out there.
Yeah. So. Yeah, but I mean, that was just great. Because, like, when you get guys that are uncomfortable in those situations, it's the funniest thing. Because they're so scared to, like, say the wrong thing. Or, like, I can't joke with these guys about that.
Well, two, a lot of those guys, they wanted, you know, Connor's great at what he does.
Of course they are. Yeah,
and
yeah.
He has plans on being on the big stage one day, that is. So he does it. You know, he's always self-conscious and conscious of what comes out of his mouth. Me and Bart give. We're here for the ride, brother. You know what I mean? We've made it to our promised land. So
yes.
That's why I think what makes our show great, that besides the player perspective, we are allowed to kind of, you know, push the envelope a little bit.
100%.
And it makes for good TV. And I think a lot of people who see us, we've become their, I don't know what's the word, their therapists why the Jets are in the state they are in.
Yeah, it is great. It's entertaining. It's awesome. It's because you guys let it fly. You're not afraid to say anything. But that was just a hilarious moment.
It took Connor a minute too. He was like, "Oh,
Yeah, he's like, oh, that's right.
Yeah, it's,
he's like, he's made his Brock Purdy point. He's like, Brock Purdy was there. And he's like, it's not what we're talking about, man. We're talking about something different.
Talk about the brothers, man. Yeah, they have no right. brothers. Right. Where were the brothers?
Oh, that's right. Well, anyway, Jeff Ulbrich. Let's go to Bob in Freehold, New Jersey. What's going on, Bob?
Hey there, Bob.
Hey, I got a comment, a question for Willie. A couple of years back, we went to the training camp, myself and my father. And the comment is, Willie Colon, Rontez Miles, Muhammad Wilkerson, they could not have been any nicer to my father. I was so impressed with them that I actually called the league office and told them that they should be running seminars for the NFL how to treat their fans. Hmm. And my question, you were great, and I got a picture of you with my dad, and I'll never lose that. The question is, have you ever thought about becoming an offensive line coach because the Jets could use you?
I have thought about it. I wouldn't mind coaching. I think for every guy who played during my time, we kind of get scared of how hard are we allowed to coach, right? Like, yeah. You know, these kids these days, you got to talk to them a certain type of way. And we talked, it's funny, we were talking a little bit about this behind the curtain. My first offensive line coach in the league was Russ Grimm, right? Mm. And Russ is one of the original hogs, old school as old school gets. And he gave it to us, right? Like one of my first, I tell the story all the time, I had a really bad training camp day. I just had a really bad day at the office. And rookies in the league at my time always sat in the first row. Everybody sat behind them. So in my room at the time was Alan Faneca, Jeff Hardins, Marvell Smith, Kendall Simmons. So these guys just won a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And here I am, a fresh rookie in 06, had a bad day in training camp. And I'm sitting there, the screen damn near pressed against my nose. And Russ is going over tape, and he's just watching all my mistakes over and over and over. And I'm getting dragged. And we had a play called 38 crack toss. And pretty much I release outside. If the corner's pressed, I go him. If the corner's off, I go up to the safety. Somebody replaces, right? And I messed it up like two or three times. And to the point where Russ is dragging me in the meeting room. And I turn around and I turn around, look at him, and he's like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. If I have to go over this place, I have to go over this play tomorrow with you, the only thing you're going to be asking me is paper or plastic. Straight like, I'm a rookie out of Hofstra.
Right.
I look, as he's talking to me, I look at Alan Faneca and all these guys. They don't even make eye contact. Mm. My guys who I eat lunch with, they aren't even looking at me. There's no hand on the shoulder. They're like, dude, if you mess this up tomorrow, only thing you're going to be asking me is paper or plastic. Yeah. And I remember saying to myself, I'm going back to the Bronx. It is officially over. And I remember getting two more plays wrong, but it wasn't 38 crack toss. I got that right.
Okay.
And that worked. And I got off the field. He was like, well, you're learning. Yeah. Like, that's all he had. So those hard coaching moments, those moments of getting like put on Front Street and having to respond, I don't know if these guys are doing or are having that type of coaching. You know, and back then, it was just a matter of meeting the standard. It wasn't about, nobody cared about my feelings. Nobody cared if I was a small school guy. Nobody cared about anything. Can you meet the standard of being a Pittsburgh Steeler? With all that said, I would love to coach. It's something I would love to grow into the position. A lot of my guys, like, for instance, my right guard with the Steelers, Darnell Stapleton, he's assistant offensive line coach with the Commanders right now. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of guys doing it. Kendall Simmons is actually an offensive line coach. He's with Middle Tennessee State. So
oh, wow.
Guys who I've played with are currently coaches. So I wouldn't mind. It's something I would think about.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of long hours. You know, I mean, it's...
Depending on who the head guy is.
Sure.
Because B.A. was, you know, one thing I've learned from Mike Tomlin, and even when I had Bruce Arians as an offensive coordinator, he would knock on the door and be like, hey, get out of here, man. Mm-hmm. Like, just go get to the family. Just get out of there. Because coaches will hide. You know, a lot of guys don't like being dads and husbands. They like just, they just want to be the coach. So.
Of course. You know, I understand. And I call these guys the coddle head coach community now. Like a Kevin O'Connell. You know, I grew up a Vikings fan, and Kevin O'Connell, he coddles his players, but it works.
Yeah.
It's nuts. I don't know how he does it and still like it maintains all the respect to these guys or whatever else, but he's done it. He's figured it out. They're 10-2. Sam Darnold loves them. Daniel Jones wanted to go play for him.
Sala was that guy.
Yeah.
Sala was the cuddle coach. The reason why he stood there and took so many arrows because he knew he would have to go back in the locker room and kind of pump up these guys' egos and get their confidence and show them, you know, that he loved them. And I even asked one of my old ball coaches, I was like, how different is it compared to when he's like, listen, you can drag a guy, but you gotta let him know you love him. The days of just dragging a guy and walking away, those days don't exist no more.
You know, the problem with things like this, and this is a discussion we had yesterday, it's like things that work in other places don't work here. Like, you can't have what happened to Sam Darnold in Minnesota happen here. Like, what happens to Sam Darnold happens at the Jets, and then he goes to Minnesota and they got
lighted,
you know,
up.
It's just different. Like, and you remember,
but that's also, but that's not fair to Sam, right? He's a rookie. He was expected to come in and right the ship. There wasn't a lot of talent, if any talent, around him.
I'm just telling you that if he got drafted in a different situation, you know, in a different place with a different head coach and all of these things, and not so much pressure on him as being the savior of the Jets. That's the problem with the Jets, is everybody that comes here has to be the savior, the guy who turns it around.
When you draft bad, that happens.
Yeah, I know, of course. And it's just tough for some of these young guys. And then the Zach Wilson pick was just as dumb as there's ever been. I mean, look,
that set the whole thing back.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so I said the other day, The one day that ruined Rob Saleh and Joe Douglas, there was one particular day that set everything down the tubes, and that was Zach Wilson's pro day. That was the day.
Because that was a COVID year. People forget that.
Well, was it? 2020? Yeah, I guess so.
It was a COVID year.
But that pro day, when he made that throw on the run, and everybody fell in love with him.
I hate that people kind of staple that, like, oh, see that one throw?
Yep.
He's our savior. Like,
yep. Yeah, it was a disaster. Yeah. That's why, you know, the next regime, whoever that is, like, it has to be someone that steps into that building and you know he is in charge. And there's no questions. And it's just like, all right, the culture is set because this guy is here. And unfortunately, Rob Saleh wasn't able to do that. And Rob Saleh may be a good head coach again somewhere else if he gets an opportunity.
I think he'll get another opportunity.
I mean, he'll be a coordinator again, and then a couple of years probably have that. You know, the defense has been terrible since he left.
Well, they don't have the personnel to match their scheme, right? Like Ken Law and Solomon Thomas and all try-hard guys, but they're not beef eaters. Like, the reason why the Jets were so good last year wasn't solely because of the back end, meaning the secondary with Sauce and DJ Reed. It's because you had Al Woods, Quentin Jefferson, JFM. These are big men who ate up a lot of space, who allowed Quentin to be Quentin, right? Because now you couldn't worry about him. Like, Quentin Jefferson, I mean, Al Woods, I had Al Woods in Pittsburgh as a young guy. Like, Al is a big man, right? So he was allowed to take on some of them double teams, which allowed a lot of one-on-ones for Williams. And then you had Jermaine Johnson was coming along. So you had pieces that were coming along. That's what made that defense great. Now Quentin he's taking a double team, I think 70% of his snaps.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a lot. And then he has nobody on the other side of him to kind of, not other side, next to him to kind of counteract that. So they're just down, man. They don't have the right guys in the right places.
Let's go to Pat, who's out in Detroit. What's going on, Pat?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Hey, man.
Morning.
Hey, by the way, Willie Colon, I'm a huge Jets fan. Thank you for all your time. Playing with the Jets was awesome. A lot of those good years, I was over in Afghanistan, so you gave us something to root for when we were over there.
Oh,
but I had a quick question. So, you know, when Joe Douglas came in, Joe Douglas, I think he was a first-time GM. Then he brought in Robert Saleh, who was, you know, he was being a first-time head coach. And then, you know, Robert Saleh's staff, a lot of those guys were first-time coordinators. I think Matt LaFleur, that was his first time calling plays, along with Ulbrich. When you're trying to bring in a young guy like Zach Wilson, does, you know, when you're trying to learn your job itself as a coach and a coordinator, on top of trying to develop players, do you think that when you're doing that, that sometimes the development part of the players kind of gets maybe not as much attention because you're trying to learn the job yourself at the same time? And I was wondering if maybe you think that could have possibly maybe put the Jets at a disadvantage because they had such a new staff trying to learn how to be coordinators, learning how to be head coaches, and then try and develop all this young talent. You know, do you think a seasoned staff maybe would have been a little bit better for guys like Zach Wilson and guys like, you know, Breece Hall and Sauce Gardner?
Well, don't forget, though, Pat, and I'll let Willie answer because he's going to have a better answer than I will have, but don't forget they had that tragedy with Greg Knapp, you know, who was supposed to be that seasoned guy to help out Zach Wilson, and that was that was just horrible for a number of reasons, but go ahead.
No, I think you hit it right on the head. And two, I think a lot of people thought Zach was going to be a lot ahead of where he was at. I think they felt like they were drafting a more polished quarterback. Zach needed time, and we didn't have a really good offensive line. We didn't have necessary pieces around him to kind of help him develop in a healthy way. And then in the media, right? Like he was getting crushed here early and often solely because they thought we had a guy. And then we just got out of the Sam Darnold era. It's reference to being a coordinator. I think the guy, when you get that position, you know ball, right? It's just a matter of who you're coaching and what you're trying to install these guys and how well can you get these guys to digest the scheme. And there were so many holes on that offense, it didn't matter if Zach was great or not, right? There was just so many deficiencies, and I think it was just tough for the Jets to overcome.
Yeah, I mean, I made the joke the other day where, you know, all right, it's the New York Jets. Who's going to save us? The Mormon quarterback from Utah. Let's spit him out in this area. That's going to work.
And it doesn't help that he had the reputation of being a MILF hunter.
Yeah, well, I thought that did help him at the time, though, to be honest.
In what way?
Well, because I felt like he needed to gain some respect in the locker room. And that sort of, because that was going into the second year, mm-hmm. I felt like, okay, you know, maybe this guy isn't so much of a wuss. Like, you know, if he's going and banging his mom's friends, you're like, okay, at least he's got some sort of oomph to him as opposed to this fresh-faced.
Are we applauding range? Is that what we're saying?
I don't know. I mean, I honestly, at the time, I was like, that's going to help his reputation in the locker room more.
No, what helps your reputation is winning. Like, quarterbacks are only sexy when they win.
Yeah.
I know a lot of guys who are backups who still enjoyed the nightlife, but they weren't starters. They didn't win. When you win, and the girls and all the notoriety that comes along with that makes you the man.
Yeah. I thought more from the perspective of like, all right, it was his second year. The first year was a mess. He's coming in. He gained some weight. You know, he didn't look as young. He had that whole MILF thing going on. And it was like, all right, you know, we're going to give him a chance. Maybe this guy grew up in this offseason. You know? That didn't work.
That did not work.
No, it did not work.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event is happening now. Get some of the best deals of the season with up to 50% off site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Avoid the home renovation overwhelm. Swapping out old blinds for custom window coverings delivers big results, and Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Skip the long lines or waiting around at home all day just to get a quote. With Blinds.com, shopping online doesn't mean sacrificing quality, style, or service. A Blinds.com design expert can help you make the perfect selection. We can even handle everything from measure to install. Get your whole home installed for one low cost. With over 25 million windows covered, Blinds.com is the number one online retailer of custom window coverings. Shop Blinds.com Cyber Monday sales event today for some of the best deals of the season. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus premium doorbusters and a free professional measure. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's better over here. AT&T customers, switching to T-Mobile has never been easier. We'll pay off your existing phone and give you a new one free, all on America's largest 5G network. Visit T-Mobile.com/carrierfreedom to switch today.
Pay off up to $650 via virtual prepaid MasterCard in 15 days. Free phone up to $830 via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax. Qualifying port-in trade-in service on Go5G Next and credit required. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance and required finance agreement is due.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Good on.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Jerry is back. He's got another update for us. What's up, Jerry?
Good morning. Brought to you by Hard Rock Bet. Download the Hard Rock Bet app and roll with us. And brought to you by Town Fair Tire. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. So here's how things started for Jameis Winston last night. Broncos, Browns, Monday Night Football.
Blessed is the man who endures. Blessed is the man who endures. Today is going to be about enduring. Today is going to be about taking a tomb. We can't come out of slacking.
Okay, so you kind of get the point, right? Well, this is how things went for him.
Shotgun snap to the Cleveland quarterback. Winston looks right. He throws a pass. It's intercepted. Picked off on the near side. Down the sideline. Benito, 50, 40, down the near side. Foot race, 30, 20, 10, 5. Touchdown. Touchdown, Nick Benito. A pick six by Jameis Winston. It was returned 75 yards.
And that's Kevin Harlan Westwood 1.
Oh.
He would then throw another one. Yeah. So they lost 42-31. Now, he threw for almost 500 yards, did have four touchdown passes, but it certainly wasn't enough. The two pick sixes just killed him.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
I have to play it every hour.
No, it's of course. So good. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Do you think this year is helping or hurting his case to get multiple suitors in the offseason because he's going to be a free agent? Because, like, on one hand, you know, every coach is going to be like, man, if he can throw the ball like this, and I mean, I can harness some of that, and maybe we can eliminate these interceptions. But then, like, his goofiness, people don't want to deal with
it. But I don't think that's goofiness. I think that's, thank you, Jared.
It's real, but it's goofy.
That's him.
Yeah, I mean, it is him. But it's just,
what would you rather him say? Like, He feels like the Lord can deliver him from pick sixes.
I guess you're right. I mean, it could be.
I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Deliver us, Lord, from every evil.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't mind having him here. I mean, if the Jets or Giants couldn't find the quarterback,
you're fishing for anybody at this point.
No, huh? I mean, but seriously, you just of all the guys that are out there. So Sam Darnold's going to be a free agent. Think he's coming back to New York?
We have a bridge quarterback. His name is Tyrod Taylor. We just refuse to unlock him.
Yeah, just he's always hurt.
All right.
You can unlock him. Just be laid up then.
Yeah, right.
Two games
This poor guy, even when he's like healthy, someone else hurts him. He got his lung punctured by the doctor, by the Chargers. I mean, it's impossible for this guy to play multiple
games in a row.
That was the day of the game, yeah.
Yeah. And that, you know, then Justin Herbert started, and that was the end of that.
Yeah. I mean, we knew was coming anyway.
Right. But. Dr. Herbert.
Reporting Dr. Herbert.
You know, that was rough. Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, it's a possibility, but you just have to have somebody behind him that can also play.
Here's Kevin Stefanski. Knows you can't turn the ball over.
You have to win that turnover margin. That's the first key to these games. It's hard to go on the road and beat a good football team if you turn the ball over like we did, and that's just the truth.
Now, Bo Nix was picked off twice, but also threw a touchdown pass, and you got touchdown runs from Burton and Williams. Broncos 8-5 with the win. The Browns 3-9 with the loss. All right, so let's dissect this Shannon Sharp, Chad Ochocinco nonsense from the Nightcap podcast. So we know that Chad's a big Bengals guy. We get it. Their season's been brutal. So here they are talking and discussing that the season's basically over. And then Chad is talking about how he believes so much in this team that he would get back into the season. So this is part one.
It's over for y'all guys. You know it's a wrap.
I thought we were going to be better. Matter of fact, and listen, I was listening to Joe. Joe said we could win 7 of the last 9. There's a possibility. So when he said that, in front of me, I was hyped.
Ocho.
I was hyped.
Ocho.
I was ready. I've been talking cash. You know what? I've been making bets with Ryan Clark. I can't even eat McDonald's till January now.
Okay. All good so far. Now, this next part is when Chad, if you watch, you can hear it a little bit, but if you see it, he is laughing almost hysterically. All right. So this is part two.
And you can't say football till January.
Why? Oh, because we lost?
You lost like 5 in a row.
Yeah.
Not you just lose. Just lost.
Hey, so you said I can't say foot or ball?
Foot or ball. Nope.
Now, at this point, he's rolling around laughing.
Even you, Ocho, you playing the game. I said, Ocho, how y'all going to go out on a run when your defense is historically bad?
All right, so we're a minute into this. There's no sense of crying. He's laughing. They're having a blast. Then the quote-unquote crying begins.
First of all, your defense is not really going to be able to stop anybody.
Right.
Now, you turn the ball over, you give them, and if you give them points on your possession, don't cry. No, don't cry. No, don't cry. You ain't crying yet, Chad. Don't let it fool you. You should be crying. Sorry.
We gonna be all right.
No, y'all ain't.
We gonna be all right.
Okay. So then he takes the sunglasses off. There's tears. Then he starts laughing again.
You done got them people. You had people in Cincinnati believe in you. Man, Ocho say we gonna be all right. Not everybody. Ain't doing nothing but eating chili and hot dogs. Stand up. Sit up in your chair.
This is where he smirks and laughs.
Come closer. You blurry. No. You bring your ass back into focus.
I'm not buying it. I think
he was crying from the laughing and then like turned into like, I could have some fun with this. People think I'm crying because I'm sad about the Bengals and starts laughing.
100% I believe that.
I think what hurts Ocho worse is that he can't eat McDonald's.
I agree.
He's a big McDonald's guy.
That's like every meal for him. Yeah, I mean, these guys. But what's great, though, is if you just, like, if you don't know the context of it, and then Chad's crying, and then Shannon's just not letting him off the hook, it is pretty funny.
Because all of the videos that are out there are like that 45-second clip, but no one plays.
Him wiping his eyes.
Right, and the before and the after, where he's laughing around the whole thing.
Yeah, so it worked. I mean, whatever Ocho was trying to do, it worked. But he's like, we're going to be all right.
No, you ain't. You'll be eating hot dogs and chili for the rest of your life.
Yeah, I mean, those guys, every single night, they deliver something.
They give
you
something. They definitely do that. Christian McCaffrey and Jordan Mason of the Niners both headed to IR. McCaffrey, PCL injury. Mason, a high ankle sprain. There's a new possibility in baseball coming down the pike.
Oh.
It's called the golden at-bat.
Oh, God.
Golden at-bat.
The golden at-bat.
And this is not like an April Fool's situation.
This is, as it turns out, it is not. We have looked into this. There have been articles written about it. It has been described in detail. And what the golden at-bat is that at any point during the course of a game, you could put any batter you would like at bat. But you only get one. You only do it one time per game. It's the golden at bat.
Why did you name it the golden at bat? I don't like the name.
I don't know.
I mean, that's what Rob Manfred has called it. Like, is this?
So I haven't seen a quote from Manfred other than this is his idea and that it's catching buzz. Where this came from, I don't know. But it's the golden at-bat. So I decided to try and find somebody that's had reaction to it. And I found Trevor May. Remember Trevor May?
Yeah. New York Met reliever. Yep, he was with a Twitch guy, whatever. He would always stream on Twitch playing video games.
He's now got a YouTube channel that does quite well.
Does he?
And he's got like 75,000 subscribers.
Good for him. Pretty good.
So here he is. I thought he was going to rip this to shreds.
If you're going to be able to go grab a hitter and say, hey, man, you're hitting in this big spot, but you can only do it one time a game, that's something you have to make a good decision about. Managing becomes more important again, which I think would be interesting. They always want more offense, but anticipation of those moments will make baseball a little. I know it sounds like I'm kind of on board, but I'm kind of on board.
He likes it. He likes it. So maybe this is something that's real.
I don't mind it.
I don't like it.
Why don't you like it?
Because I don't know. I don't like the runner at second base to start the 10th inning. I think it's stupid.
Yeah. All right. So I'm someone who always wants to make baseball quicker and more fun and entertaining. And I love the pitch clock. And I love the thing with the runner on second base because it shortened up these games. There were 16, 17 innings in May that we didn't need. It's gotten to a point. This is a bridge too far.
But I don't,
because it's not the game.
It's not the game.
But at the same time, in any sport, right, football or basketball, you put the ball in your best player's hand. Why can't it? It's the same. That's how I perceive it.
Because it's baseball. And that's not the way the game is played, though. You know what I'm saying?
But at the same time, you're mixing it up. You can't be rigid.
I guess you could make the case when they brought the DH in. People were like, this is not the game. The pitcher's hit. I suppose you could make that case. This, to me, seems goofy.
Yeah,
this is trying too hard.
I agree. And I also, are you drawing in more fans because of that? Like, what they need to do is they need to understand.
I think the fans like options. This adds another option and element to the game.
Yeah, I mean, all right. So, yeah, Eddie gives this suggestion. Like, the NFL, you get a golden down one time a game. Like, you get the fifth down.
Right, I mean, would you like that
in football? A fifth down?
Yeah.
I would have loved it.
As
if I
a defensive
more games.
Player, would you like it?
I didn't play
that. That ain't fair. Yeah, but that sucks.
Yeah, it's just too much. It just really is. The game needed to be sped up. This, to me, although...
If I'm trying to play devil's advocate...
Please do.
Oh, you could. You could make the case for it.
Well, think about this. Like, it's a... Base is loaded, and you got whatever scrub up with sure. two outs at the bottom of the lineup.
But you want to go grab Aaron Judge for one at bat.
Yeah.
I understand.
I mean, that makes it
spices
exciting.
Spices it up.
It's different. But I'm sure we would get used to it like everything.
Yeah.
But you're anti it. You're not... You're,
I don't like it because it's changing the game, like what the game is.
Games need to be changed, didn't you? Got to mix it up.
But I don't think it does.
So I thought that the kickoff rule was the most drastic change I'd seen in pro sports.
It's ugly. I
ever,
hate it.
And I couldn't stand it.
I understand the safety behind it, but I
you just do a better job of figuring it out. It looks stupid.
It's hard to watch. Right? I literally turn my head when it happens. Then I look back.
Jerry's called a couple of games, but me, Boomer, and Jerry did a Giants-Eagles game, and seeing it in person is even weirder, if that makes sense. You're like, why are these guys just frozen in time? but this would be by far a bigger drastic
this
change.
This is pretty extreme.
And would it be in the postseason? Probably not, right? Because the
Ghost
Runner is not in the postseason.
See, I would want it in the postseason.
That's yeah, I would like it too, because Aaron Judge could make the second out of the inning, and then he could get right back up and make the third out of the inning.
He'd be all right. He could strike out twice in a matter of two at-bats.
That would be interesting, right? If he comes up with the bases loaded and one out and strikes out, all right, use the golden ticket. Go back up there again.
Go back up there.
Strike out twice.
Wow.
The golden ticket.
And you have the reliever would have to face him because they have the three at-bat minimum. So you'd have to see the pitcher again, which would be in his benefit.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. Who knows
how
if
much
they're gonna
momentum
do it.
Is this gaining? Like,
yeah,
is it
a thing?
Al, how many articles about this did you see? You said you saw it everywhere, right?
I saw a bunch of things on Twitter, and then you pulled up actual articles on Google.
Like New York Times wrote about it,
Sports Illustrated.
Yeah.
Oh, so it's building up. This thing is.
I think it's real. I don't know that it's going to happen.
Howie Rose commented on it,
but the conversation's
he definitely
real.
Hated it, right? He definitely hated it. There's no way Howie.
Yeah,
like
he
that.
Hates it.
Yeah. Yeah, Howie wants everything to be 1965, which I understand.
Back in my day.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those guys, and I get it. Let me see. Howie on X posted this?
Yes.
All right, so let me go to his he said the same thing I said. He goes, what? Is this an April Fool's joke in December? Come on. Yeah, MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred considering golden at-bat. Teams are given one time a game to send any player from their team to the plate. Wow. All right. We'll see where it goes,
Jerry.
See
where it goes. And Rick Pitino with BT and Sal yesterday, they were talking about the passing of Lou Carnesecca. Pitino having a little bit of fun at his own expense, if you will, saying, me and Louie, not quite the same.
One of the few people I've met in my life in the coaching profession that nobody ever said a bad word about. And that's quite, you know, you can write a book with the bad words about me, but with Lou, you know, nobody would ever say a bad word. Kind person, giving person.
Passed away over the weekend at the age of 99, as we discussed yesterday. The Devils beat the Rangers 5-1. Jesper Bratt, Dawson Mercer scored in the first period. Jack Hughes scored twice in the second. The Rangers really struggling of late, 1-6 in their last seven games, fall to 13-10-1. The Devils pick up the 2 points, now 17-9-2 on the season. You've got the Islanders in Montreal coming up later tonight. And I failed to mention Kyle Higashioka, a two-year deal with the Texas Rangers.
Okay, good for him. Are you coming to the Islander game on Saturday or Sunday or Saturday? When the hell is it? Saturday?
No, I'll be coming back from Columbus. Rutgers at Ohio State Saturday.
Because we got the WFAN Islander outing on Saturday.
Sal gave me two dates. I gave him the one date that was good, and he picked the date that wasn't.
He really wanted you there?
Clearly, yes. So, no, I'll be on the road with Rutgers.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
I hear you're going.
Yeah, we were scraping the bottom of the barrel for some guys at the end there. You know?
What does that mean?
Well, I mean...
You got to fill the box?
Yeah. You know, it's just some really...
Who'd you scrape the bottom of the barrel with?
You don't have any friends?
I mean, all I know is we get... No. It's all people from here.
Right.
So, like, we had to...
I'm saying that nobody from the offense you can recruit that you have a tight relationship with?
There's no way Allen Eddy would go, correct?
No, right. That's the
thing. Not attending. Long Island's way too far.
Yeah, so these guys aren't going. Boomer, of course, is not going to go.
I would have loved to have gone.
Jerry would have gone. Yeah, I think, well...
What time is the game? 7:30?
I think it might be 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, no chance.
But yeah, I mean, I had to even dip into Infinity Sports Radio.
Really?
Guys out of there.
All right, so give me a bottom of the barrel guy.
Bogus.
No, you love Bogus. I don't believe
I
that.
I had to scrape Bogus right off the bottom of the
you
barrel.
You like him. That's not true.
I like him, but I mean, he was nowhere on the radar, you know? I did nix a couple of people as well.
That you didn't want to
yeah.
go?
Yeah.
You mean you cut him?
Yeah, I cut a couple of people.
Was it for personal reasons?
Well, one guy, you know, like Big Zoo, like he blew us off for Boomer and Geo Live, so he's not getting this invite.
He didn't blow you off. He had some with his girl.
Wicked. I'm sorry.
It's a new relationship.
I'm with Zoo on that one.
This bogus right there.
Bogus, you were blown off, my friend.
It's amazing that people hear this radio show. What the hell? Yeah, so Zoo, that was so that, and he never even like reached out or anything, and he was like lying about the movie or the play. So
I think
he
felt
cut.
Like you should have understood. It's Wicked.
No.
How can you say no to Wicked?
It's also a new relationship.
New relationship. The girl wanted to go.
All right, so he made his choice, I made mine. Right?
Wow.
So they're cut. Done.
Now, is this going to be a always cut, or this was like the punishment, and the next one he'll be invited?
This was just so fresh. Like, it was like that day I was asked about it. I was like, no, I don't think so. Blew us off. Yeah. There was a couple others. I was like, I don't even see that guy. I don't know nothing about him.
Peter Schwartz make the list?
He did not. No. Nope. Didn't.
I just feel like some of these people feel like they have a great relationship with you.
No, they don't. No,
and they find out that you're just nixing them.
Well, Schwartz gets the Islander pass all the time. Like, he can get there. Do you know Peter Schwartz?
I feel like I do.
You probably have seen Peter.
He probably covered you.
Yeah.
He's a giant human being.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huge guy. So he gets free stuff all the time. So we were trying to like get people involved that don't get those experiences.
Oh, that's fair.
You know? But yeah, he was cut. I think that's about it.
It's no worse than realizing you've been cut on air.
Yeah. You know what another one was that I did add as well. McPherson was not on the original list. I said you gotta invite him. I don't know if
he'd not be on the list.
I don't know. Ask Sal.
Okay. I mean, that's weird. Okay, that's strange because he was on the list,
right? But not at first.
No, he was when he first presented me with this a month ago.
Yeah,
okay, that's strange.
And I've got a text trail and everything.
Interesting.
Yeah. Okay. So Keith, you're welcome. I don't know if Keith is going to be coming or not, but I said, listen.
And Willie, you're a Long Island guy, no?
No, I'm from the Bronx. I attended Hofstra University in Long Island. Yeah.
Do you live there now or no?
No, I'm in New Jersey, sir.
Yeah,
so I'm an Aries.
Yeah, I hadn't. You're not going to come to an Islander game on a Saturday.
No, man. That's not happening.
Right. Exactly.
I'm right there with you.
Yeah. Well, but Eddie, you would have a really good time.
I definitely would. But I just logistically impossible.
Seems like nobody wants to go.
I did.
You know, the dwarf who played Little Boomer.
Yes.
He just texted me.
He wants to go.
He said I'd go, but it's elf season. He's booked. Okay. Yeah.
See what you did there.
No, but I did. What did you see? He actually.
I think he's being serious.
Yeah, that's look, legit.
Means he's working.
I go. Little, but it's elf season. Yeah, that's him right there.
He's making cash.
Yeah. See, that's
it. Tis the season.
Yeah, Scott. He's the man.
So okay, Scott.
Yeah, elf season's big for him. Even more so than St. Patrick's Day.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I can see that.
Yeah.
Christmas is longer.
Exactly.
And less likely to get punched and abused also.
Right.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Hi, Boomer and Geo with Willie Colon in for Boomer on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. There's a couple of people that now, because I was talking about this Islander game, that are texting me that I guess Sal dropped the ball in inviting. Because now, I mean, I don't know what he's... He sent me this list. I just assumed that he had asked like the people, like the normal people, but he did not. So I'm going to have a talk with Sal Licata when he comes in. Have you, BT and Sal, the guys?
Yeah, I was on BT's podcast not too long ago. We had a good time.
The, what does he call that?
Just
Unkillable.
Podcast. Yeah.
Unkillable is what he calls it.
BT's great, man. I like BT.
Yeah, he is an intense Jets fan, man. He is fired up.
He's typical.
He's a typical crazy Jets fan.
Well, because I go to the supermarket.
Yeah.
Everybody in the supermarket feels when I'm there, is a Jets fan. Like, I feel like everybody in the store is a Jets fan. So there's, like, the other day, Thanksgiving, I'm going down there looking for jellied cranberry sauce, right? Yeah. I get cornered. Willie, what's wrong with the Jets? Yeah. I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. And I go to the next aisle. Willie, what's wrong with the Jets? I was like, I don't know. To the point where I get to the aisle, I don't want to talk. I don't pick my eyes up. I keep my head down just so I can avoid the conversation of what's wrong with the Jets. My guess is as good as yours.
Yeah. And I don't think they even really want an answer from you. They just want the interaction with you, right? And they're not really looking for an answer. They know they have their own opinions on it. Every Jet fan has their own opinions. They just want to say, hey, I talked with Willie Colon in the supermarket.
Yeah, that's fine. I just need people to also stay the hell out of my car. That pisses me off, too. Like, somebody judged me for having sodium-free crackers the other day. They're like, what does it matter? Just get the salt. I'm like, well, this one, a little less sodium in my crackers. I don't think it was a big deal. Right, exactly. I'm getting judged, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry about my inflammation.
Yeah.
Mother effer.
It is what it is.
Yeah. What do you think? Where's your stance on sodium-free crackers, Al?
I don't have a problem with sodium, okay. So I would just get regular crackers.
I don't either. But somebody in my family put it on the grocery list,
yeah.
And I brought it. Yeah, I didn't think it was a big deal.
Yeah, see, Al is Mr. Ingredients, and he is all over it, and he is aging in reverse. Like, if you look at him from 10 years ago, he looks older 10 years ago than he does now.
And I am always judging carts that come by.
Are you a cart judge?
Oh, yeah. Big time.
Like, somebody reached in my cart and was like, oh, you like tuna and oil. And I'm like, how are we here right now? How are we here? Why is your hand? She grabbed it.
Wow. Like,
and I didn't know what to do. I felt like she groped me. And all she did was grab the can of tuna.
Just slap that hand.
Yeah. She's saying, oil? Get it in water. It's albacore. I'm like, I want to go home. I don't want to have this conversation with you, woman.
It's albacore. That's great. Did she know who you were or just like a
yeah,
random?
Yeah, she did.
Oh, okay. She
was being friendly.
Yeah, that's.
But keep your hand out of my cart, lady.
Yeah, that is up there. Yeah, I've never seen that.
Is there a supermarket up there where all current and former Jets are going? I imagine there's like one big shop.
So there's a place out near Sims' spot called Market Basket, which is in Franklin Lakes, New Jersey. And I've ran into Kerry Kittles. I've seen Nate Burleson there. There's randos. It's just like, hey, Willie. I'm like, hey, Nate. You know. We're both grabbing at the Brussels sprouts there.
Right, yeah, you know? just reaching into each other's carts.
Yeah.
Checking things out.
It's like, hey, man.
Kerry Kittles. Wow, I haven't thought about him in a long
time.
Yeah,
you just see random like guys walking around, which is interesting. And it's not a big market. It's very nice. It's good. They do a great job. A little pricey.
Have you gone to Phil's house, Sims?
I have. I have been to Phil's house.
So he was on with us last week. He talks about how he feeds the foxes in his backyard.
I do the same thing. I feed the animals outside. Yeah, if we get like leftover, if we have leftover bread or the kids don't eat all the apples that we buy, and I'll just throw it out back. My wife hates it. She was like, there's 20 raccoons outside that door right now. Yeah. And I'm like, well, this is their house. We invaded on their property.
That is true.
It's a little get back, right?
They were indigenous to the area before the humans showed up. That right. is fair.
We showed up and put a pool in there and on their land, right? So I feel like a little apples and carrots and celery. It's a little
oh, my gosh. Yeah, oh, my gosh. So Phil, actually, he does a fox call in his backyard because there's two foxes.
What do you mean, like with a horn or something?
No, with his voice. And he gave us the call on the air last week. That's actually Phil doing that. Phil Sims stands in his backyard and does that. And the foxes come.
Yeah, there's hotlines for people like that. Bottom line. What are you doing, Phil? I know you're an empty nester, but things are getting, like, that's when you start, you got to sit dad down. Like, do we need to have that talk?
I know. What is it
retirement
about?
Retirement homes type talk? Do we need to stay doing that? If you caught your father, if you caught your father out back doing fox calls on a Wednesday, isn't that a cause for concern?
Yes.
In his robe, probably. In his,
right.
Right. To feed these foxes.
And you said you give them like fruit. Phil's throwing raw hamburger meat out there.
Oh, yeah. See, that's.
Right.
He screams Hannibal Lecter when I hear that.
Well, it was funny because when he was telling the story, he talked to his wife. His wife goes, you know, you're not even going to cook that food? And he goes, no, they're animals. They eat other animals for a living.
I mean, he's not wrong, but you want to put a little adobo or something on the meat, right? Season it up a little bit.
Yeah, but they don't. I mean, do you think they care?
Yeah, you know? I mean, if you can eat the back off a pup, it doesn't matter.
So. Seriously.